on radio, on YouTube, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is Invest Talk, independent thinking, shared success. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. Here is KPP Financial Chief Executive Officer, Financial Advisor Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to Invest Talk. This is our Tuesday, January 7th, 2025 edition. I know it's still weird saying 2025. I can't believe it's already a quarter of the way through the century. Pretty crazy. And we are about a week into the new year. And that means that we have news underway that's impacting markets and fresh new challenges for the new year that we are here to help you prepare for. And it's a time to refocus. I know we are here at KPP Financial as well as Invest Talk, and thinking about new strategies and new changes that are sure to take place in a new year with the new administration, etc. So that's what this hour and every day on Invest Talk is about, is meeting those challenges where they are and making the best decisions with the facts on the ground, not hyperbole, not rhetoric, but really objectively analyzing the current situation and making educated decisions with your money. Now, I'm Justin Klein, and the objective here each and every weekday is help you become a better investor. Let's help you understand market dynamics, especially with how that might affect your portfolio and your subset of investment opportunities. Okay. So we do this by answering your finance and investment questions and bringing you actionable material for you to take back to your particular situation and further it to your ends, which is financial freedom. Now, in just a bit, we'll talk about today's market performance and run down the show topics. But as usual, we'll tackle this first caller question now.
Hi, this is Andrew from Buffalo. I'm just calling to get your take on a company called Procept Biorobotics, PRCT. I appreciate your thoughts and look forward to hearing on the show. Thank you.
PRCT is the symbol, manufactures medical and surgical equipment focused on the treatment of benign prostatic hyperplasia. Interesting. So a company with very strong revenue growth. Last quarter, revenue was up 66% year over year to $58 million. So, a run rate of somewhere in the $200 to $250 million annually in revenue, but a market cap of $4.7 billion. So you can see they're trading at nearly 20 times revenue, even looking forward. But it's losing money. And I think that's the issue here, is this a company that we really... you really want to be chasing at these valuations? Now, the technicals are just fine, but their free cash flow remains negative, and it's been improving over the past year or so, but it's still in deeply negative territory at about negative $100 million. Now, the good thing is that they don't have much debt on their balance sheet, but what are they doing? They're issuing more and more shares, and recently they just issued another 2 million additional shares, going from 52 million shares outstanding to 54 million shares outstanding. So they're taking advantage of these high prices and selling shares. And so, the big question is, when can they turn to some level of profitability, and will it justify the current valuation? Now, typically it doesn't. So this is purely a momentum play, but usually what happens is it's still based on the story that, they have this great technology that will eventually become economically profitable. But usually what happens is the market gets ahead of this, too far ahead, and their projections of profitability are too rosy. And so, I don't mind this as a momentum play, as a small part of your portfolio, but understand that it is grossly overvalued. And the odds of the current valuation growing into the current valuation from a profitability standpoint are pretty low. So I'm passing on PRCT. Thanks for the call. Now let's pivot over to our first live call. Sid in North Carolina, looking at AAP, which is Advanced Auto Parts. You own it or looking to buy it?
Thank you, Justin, for your time and taking the call. No, sure. I don't have this stock in my radar, my portfolio. It's just in my radar. Okay. Numbers are all over the place, mainly concerned with the debt, mm-hmm. primarily. But I just wanted to take your opinion. Is this a good company? If yes, what should be the entry point in your point of view? Thank you so much again.
Well, I think you really brought up some important points, which is the debt. In this environment where the cost of debt is going up with interest rates rising, companies with leveraged balance sheets can often get in trouble, especially for names that are now losing money. They lost money last year, 43 cents. For 2023, they lost money, 43 cents. Expected full year 2024. Remember, they haven't announced Q4 earnings quite yet. But expect to lose 45 cents as well. So it's a return to $1.55 in profits this year. But, you know, that's kind of still a TBD scenario. So we'll see what that looks like. But overall, you know, what you saw was this had really good earnings during the pandemic. It made $12 per share in 2021. But this was a period where, remember, you couldn't get new cars and you know, supply chains were disrupted. And instead of buying new cars, people were buying. They were repairing their used car. And now that situation has kind of resolved itself. And this is a company that was bringing in free cash flow of, let's see what it peaked out at. In 2021, it peaked out of over $1 billion in free cash flow. Now we're at $200 million. Now, based on the current market cap of $2 billion, that's a pretty good free cash flow yield. Okay, so $2.8 billion. The market cap. Problem is that debt, the debt level, long-term debt, about $1.8 billion. And that's my worry here. And the profitability is pretty meager. The technicals remain weak. It has rallied here from a low of 36 all the way to the close today, about 46. But it still remains below the 200-day moving average. And if I zoom out to a weekly chart, I'm still not getting a lot of signs that this is recovering in a major way. So I would pass on it. I wouldn't own it. I don't like companies that are this small with up and down operating history with a lot of debt as well. I just don't see a reason to step in front of this with the technical so poor. So I am also passing on Advanced Auto Parts, AAP. Now we're heading into a short break. And on the other side, we'll preview today's topics and talk about today's market activity. But give us a call now. This is Invest Talk, 888-99-CHART.
Okay, got to get serious with my finances. I've been working a long time, and I know there's still got to be more that I can do to build my wealth quicker. I don't want to have to work forever.
If you are not maximizing your employer-sponsored retirement plan, KPP Financial can help. With our professional oversight, you can potentially enhance your investment performance by an average of 3% annually.
Hmm.
At KPP Financial, we provide a comprehensive 401k management program designed to optimize your retirement savings. Our approach includes creating custom investment allocations tailored to your goals and risk tolerance. That can make a big difference in your favor.
Maybe it's time to tune up my retirement plan.
For more information on how you can take control of your retirement savings, visit our website, kppfinancial.com.
KPP Financial. Sounds good.
It's a new year, and Justin Klein is here and ready to answer your finance and investment questions. Call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Now, we have a lot of ground to cover over the next 45 minutes or so, and this is what we will cover, time permitting. Now, our main focus point concerns this topic, resetting your finances for 2025, strategies for the upcoming economic change, anticipated economic shifts, including lower interest rates, changes in government policy, and the potential for rising inflation will make it crucial to adjust your personal financial strategies. So we'll dig into how to think about some changes as we embark on 2025. We also have some other topics on the docket. One important one is our new ETFs. A lot of fancy ETFs were launched last year, kind of more complex ETFs than your plain vanilla index funds. And we'll talk about the pros and cons of those type of ETFs that were launched and why, in most instances, you probably want to avoid them. In addition, we will cover the topic in regards to the debt ceiling fight, and why this fight might be different than previous fights over the debt ceiling. Okay, so we'll look at that story. We also have voice bank calls. One is in regards to MSC Industrial Direct Company, MSM. And then we have some questions submitted via the comment section over on our YouTube channel as well. And of course, we welcome your finance and investment questions right now at 888-99-CHART. Now let's take a quick look at the market today. It was overall a red day, and we closed kind of near the lows. So that was certainly a negative, and probably the worst day we've had so far this year. Yeah, let me see. Yeah, pretty much the worst day we've had so far. You know, this is only the fourth trading day of the year. Yeah, fourth trading day of the year. Large cap growth definitely took it on the chin the most. You had a large cap growth down over, right about 2%. NVIDIA was down 6.2%. Amazon 2.4%. Meta down about 2%. Broadcom down 3%. Tesla down 4%. Apple, Microsoft, and Google, those were largely unscathed. You know, if you talk about down a little over 1% for Apple and Microsoft, and Google down a little less than 1%. So those were of the Mag 7 names where the strength was. You had the healthcare side of the market. That was probably the strongest sector overall. You had companies like Eli Lilly, Merck, Thermo Fisher, as well as Johnson & Johnson, all up over 1% on the day. You also had energy doing well with Exxon and Chevron, both up about 1.5% respectively. The rest of the market was kind of a mixed bag. You had Walmart, Home Depot down, Costco down a little bit there. But that was really where the sell-off emanated today, was in the large cap growth and mid cap growth space. Actually, large cap value was the style factor that was actually up on the day slightly. And that was once again, probably because of energy being up, as well as some of those healthcare names as well. So that was the market today, as we are less than 2 weeks away from Inauguration Day. And obviously, headlines coming out of the new administration will be a big swing factor in markets as we power towards that Inauguration Day. Now, we have another live call, this time from Nick in Hayward, California, asking about Palantir.
Yes, Justin.
Yeah.
Beautiful show. Nice show. Love it. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call.
Yeah. What would be a good entry point for Palantir? It was down like 594 today.
Yeah. Yeah. My target on Palantir for goodbye is $20. It's at 70 now. I think there's a long way to go before it's a reasonable valuation. So until it at least crosses the $30 level, it's no buy for me. And this is kind of one of those, I call it online stocks, right? Everyone talks about it. It's a retail darling. And, you know, there's a lot of narrative behind it. But the reality is their business, it's good. But, you know, does it warrant the premium that it's trading at right now, which is, you know, based on forward-looking earnings of, 47 cents? Is it worth $70? It's basically a 150 forward-looking multiple. Very unlikely, right? So you have a price to sales ratio at 63 times. It's really one of the most overvalued stocks in the market today. So, you know, it needs to be cut. It needs to go down about 70, 80% from its high. That's what happens with these names. They peak out and you might've just seen it, right? Because it just did move from 85 to 70 in a very short, short order. It's now broken. It's a recent uptrend. And, you know, if this is the peak for the growthier stocks, you know, what happens is these names go down once again, 70, 80%. So 80% from its high would put it, you know, kind of in the high teens. So I think you're probably set for something like that with Palantir. probably headed back into at least the 20s, and that would be an area that might be start getting interesting to me.
Okay, sounds good. I was thinking about that. I guess I won't. I'll wait.
Yeah, I'll wait. I'd be very patient with Palantir. Going to be very volatile, and looks like it just topped. Thanks for the call. Now we're moving into a break. Still to come, my main focus point and more answers to your questions and a YouTube question as well. But give me a call right now at 888-99-CHART.
InvestTalk is ready 24/7 for your finance and investment questions.
I'm hoping you'll give me your take on Ormat Technologies, ORA.
Is it a good idea to sell your losses in a Roth IRA and just use whatever you have left to reinvest into better stocks?
Don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Can you believe it's 2025 already? Life moves pretty fast, and starting a new year always reminds me of that. Are you prepared for the unexpected? Fabric by Gerber Life helps you get term life insurance in minutes so you can help protect your family's financial future. Fabric was designed for busy parents like you, and it's more than life insurance. Free digital wills, access to investment accounts to invest for your kids' future, and more. Fabric by Gerber Life is term life insurance you can get done right from your couch, all online and on your schedule. You could be covered in under 10 minutes with no health exam required. If you got kids, and especially if you're young and healthy, the time to lock in low rates is now. Even if you have life insurance through your employer, it may not offer enough protection for your family, and it may not follow you if you leave your job. Fabric has flexible, high-quality policies that fit your family and your budget, like $1 million in coverage for less than a dollar a day. Fabric has partnered with Gerber Life, trusted by millions of families like yours for over 50 years. There's no risk, and there's a 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can cancel at any time. Join the thousands of parents who trust Fabric to help protect their family. Apply today in just minutes at meetfabric.com/investtalk. That's meetfabric.com/investtalk. meetfabric.com/investtalk. Policies issued by Western Southern Life Assurance Company, not available in certain states, prices subject to underwriting and health questions.
InvestTalk, now with more than 60 million downloads. Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero are ready to answer your finance and investment questions 24/7, 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278 is how you get through and ask your question on today's show. Now, at the top of the show, we talked a bit about the new administration, a new year, and the fact that this is a time to reset your finances for a lot of unknowns. And I think that's one aspect of this new administration that you have to take account of, which is that there are kind of warring factions within the current Trump administration, the current Trump electorate, and who they want to be part of the administration, what their priorities should be. And you can just see this with the HB1 visa fight, right, between Elon and Vivek and a lot of people on the right who want H1B visas to be phased out and there be more protectionism when it comes to immigration. And there's just a lot of infighting there. And the reality is, I think that's going to be the case for a lot of areas of the administration's priorities. Because there, you know, you have your traditional Republicans who are a bit more focused on free markets, on corporations doing good and creating jobs. And then you have the populist right, which is more focused on protectionism, more weary these days of corporate influence and the type of policies that typically have helped corporations. And so there's a lot of fights there. And there is, that means there's likely to be volatility in the actual implementation of various policies. And, you have the Trump administration looking at deeper tax cuts, but rolling back guardrails for consumer finance protection, for example. And in this environment, it's very prudent for investors to not get too tied to one potential outcome or another. Right, a lot of people are saying that the new administration will be good for one sector or another, and the reality on the ground will likely be somewhat different. And interest rates, everyone thought that interest rates were going to come down because that the Trump administration would want lower interest rates. That's what somebody who's in the real estate industry would love. Typically, Trump loves debt. He loves low cost of debt. But what have interest rates done? They've gone up since Trump was elected. And so this is a time where you want to, number one, rebalance your portfolio. Don't get overweight. Especially if you have a mix of stocks and bonds. Stocks have done well. And since the election, if you actually go look at like the NYSE broad index, guess what? Equities are down since the election. Now, initially they were up, and it just goes to show you that this is a time where you want to not get too tied to, once again, one potential outcome. I don't think that it's clear cut that Trump will be good for equities. Just because equities went up in his first administration doesn't mean equities have to go up in this administration. Okay. And that just because one sector did well in his first administration and other sectors did worse doesn't mean that has to be the outcome this time as well. This time is a different administration, different leaders of the administration. You have obviously Elon and RFK and Tulsi Gabbard. And these are people that have big voices. They have big followings and they have different views, especially compared to the actual policy implementations of the first Trump administration. So it's important to make sure that you are that you're using this time, even though equities are down a little bit since the election, that it's still probably a good time in the new year. Take a little of those gains, right? You have the tax cuts that are potentially expiring at the end of this year. And so, you could see maybe capital gains go up. That could be part of a negotiation that lowers tax rates for the middle and lower class potentially, and raising rates on maybe high earners. That's a potential. Just because Trump is a Republican doesn't mean that you can guarantee the outcome of future negotiations are going to weigh on the side of those that are wealthier. I think this is certainly an administration that is going to be surprising. In some ways good, some ways bad for the overall economy. So the moral of the story here is don't tie yourself to, don't marry yourself to a particular outcome. Create balance in your portfolio. And then as facts on the ground iterate, then you can make changes, okay? And lean one way or another, whether that's small caps, whether it's a particular sector, et cetera. Because there will be a lot of rhetoric, but the reality of policy implementation will likely be different than the actual rhetoric, okay? And then look at raising your cash levels, trying to earn as much as you can on cash. There was a report from Bankrate that found that two-thirds of Americans are earning suboptimal interest on their savings accounts. So make sure you are maximizing that. And then also Roth conversions. I talk about rates potentially going up in the future. This is the year where you want to try to lock in some Roth conversions and lock in a lower tax rate if your tax rate may go up. And then also the amount you can contribute to your 401k, that's going up as well this year. So make sure that you are adjusting your contributions if you are maximizing your 401k, if you're trying to maximize your 401k. So, and then lastly, duration risk. Odds are probably more likely the Fed or that Trump will be inflationary and that interest rates will rise over time. I think this is just a secular trend here. And so you want to reduce your duration risk across your portfolio. So those are some pinpoints or some points to follow as we head into 2025. Now we're heading into a break, but please give me a call now at 888-99-CHART.
Life in general can be chaotic, right? Especially if you have an e-commerce business. And that gets us to order fulfillment. Now the good news, you can calm the chaos of order fulfillment with the shipping software solution that delivers, ShipStation. I can tell you this, it feels great to be able to save serious money on shipping expenses by taking advantage of industry-leading discounts. ShipStation is the fastest, most affordable way to ship products to your customers while your e-commerce business enjoys discounts of up to 88% off UPS, DHL Express, and USPS rates, and up to 90% on FedEx rates. ShipStation seamlessly integrates with the services and selling channels you already use, so you can manage orders on one easy dashboard. You'll ship more orders faster and automate your workflow to reduce human error and create 15 times more labels per hour. So, deliver a better customer experience with industry-leading, scalable features that help ensure accuracy and provide automated tracking updates with your company's branding. Calm the chaos of order fulfillment with the shipping software that delivers for you. Switch to ShipStation today. Go to ShipStation.com and use code INVEST to sign up for your free trial. That's ShipStation.com, code INVEST.
Invest Talk. Your questions are free. The answers are unbiased. Justin Klein is here now, 888-99-CHART.
Now, we ask for live calls, and you respond, so thank you. Gary from California is asking about CDE, Cower, C-O-U-E-U-R, I don't know how to say that, Mining Incorporated is listening on AM 1220 in the Bay Area. How you doing, Gary?
Doing well. Thank you for taking my call, Justin.
No problem. Do you own CDE, or are you looking to buy it?
No, I do own about 700 shares.
Okay. So this is a small cap miner engaged in exploration development of silver and gold mines here in the U.S., Mexico, and South America. $2.5 billion market cap. Its relative strength is pretty good compared to the other miners in the industry, above the 200 moving average. It's been consolidating since middle of the year, kind of in the right around the $6 level. So it's around 61 cents this year. And so that puts it at about a 10 PE ratio. And I like that. I think there's some good value there. You're seeing revenue growth accelerate, 61% revenue growth last quarter. And that's supposed to accelerate into next year as well. Obviously, with the higher cost of, or it's higher prices in the precious metal markets. Gold has pulled back recently, but it's holding some major support and looks to be gaining some strength to move higher. So I don't mind this. It's obviously a smaller cap name, so higher risk, but solid balance sheet with good profitability going forward. So I like the trends I'm seeing.
Is there any concern with the shares being diluted?
Let's take a look here. Shares outstanding is at about 400 million. Not recent. Well, I guess in the fall did issue a few more shares, but the amount of shares being issued has slowed down since basically last fall, fall of 2023, where it had 382 million shares outstanding. Now it's right around 400 million. So there has been a few shares being issued since then, but since the spring, not really much. Call it over the last year or so. So I think you're fine there. As profitability improves and cash flows improves, I think they're obviously stopping that issuance of shares, which I think is good. You know, they were losing money in 2021 through 2023, and now that that dilution has stopped. So the relative strength in the stock gives me some confidence that they're no longer going to dilute that, as well as the improvement in the cash flow levels. So I wouldn't really have an issue with that.
Okay, great. Thank you, Justin.
No problem. Thanks for the call. That was CDE. K, Cower Mining, C-O-U-E-R. I'm not sure how to say that, but CDE is the symbol. Now, I hope you've been telling all your friends and family that our Invest Talk audio podcast is also available in video form, where you can see my charts and the data that I talk about each and every day. Luke and I talk about each and every day on air. And this question came in via the comment section. Rowdy12345678 says, "Hey guys, questions for you on AMG. Looks like sales have been going down slightly, but because they're buying back so many shares, earnings per share is going up in a decent pace. If you like it, where would you see a target buy-in price?" All right, let's look at AMG. This is Affiliated Managers Group. Affiliated Managers Group. And this is a, looks like it is, let me pull this up here. It offers investment strategies through its network of affiliates. Okay. It buys a majority interest in small to mid-sized boutique asset managers and receiving a fixed percentage of revenue from those firms. So you're talking about buying into companies kind of like ours. It buys into AQR Management, Pantheon, Alternative Assets, etc. And I think that's my biggest worry here, is there's some exposure to alternative asset companies, but also some mutual fund companies like Parnassus, Yacman, Genesis, Harding Loevner, Tweeding Brown. And, you know, with the move towards indexing, that's where a lot of their fee revenue is going. And it's declining at last quarter about 2%, despite the overall value of assets going up. And that's really the worry here, is that you're not getting much growth, if any growth at all, because you know, a lot of their funds are probably underperforming the indexes, at least over the past couple of years. Now, could that be shifting? And this would be a play on that, right? The shift towards more active management. And you started to see, really since the COVID crisis, that it's been a little bit more of a mixed bag, that indexing is not always the leader, in 2022 especially, where a lot of active managers drastically outperformed the S&P and the NASDAQ. I think you'll get that more and more, especially as the market shifts back towards the value side of the market. So that would be the play here. Now, cash flow has come down from a high of 2021, about $1.27 billion, but still at about $1 billion on a market cap of $5 billion. And yeah, I mean, what they're doing is taking that $1 billion and buying back stock. I kind of like it. I think it's a deep value play. The trends in the stock are higher. The profitability is good, 11% return on equity. Not amazing, but that would be the play here. The biggest issue though is the debt, right? That $1 billion is also going towards potentially paying down debt. What they seem to be doing though is rather buy back shares. You know, keep the debt. It's not a ton of debt, right? $3 billion on a $5.5 billion market cap, $1 billion in free cash flow. They're times interest earned 8 times, so they easily could afford the debt that's on their balance sheet, and so they're trying to just buy back the shares. So I actually kind of like this as a contrarian play against the indexes, that money would just simply continue to flow towards the indexes. And I like the valuation here on AMG, that is Affiliated Managers Group. Thanks for the call. Or thanks for the question via the YouTube channel. Now let's touch a bit on an interesting trend. And this is coming from Morningstar. And it shows that there's a new gold rush in the ETF space. And that is launching more sophisticated ETF products. I think of the cover call ETFs, as well as the levered ETFs tracking particular high-flying volatile names like MSTR, Tesla, Amazon, etc. And, you know, it's bringing in a lot of assets. And about 30% of ETFs launched last year referred to some kind of complex strategy in their name. And that's double the average of the previous 9 years. And total inflows to U.S. ETFs broke records last year, over $1 trillion total inflows. And the problem here is that the actual returns of these ETFs, usually not very good. One example is Simplified Enhanced Income ETFs is supposed to give you T-bill returns plus a boost, but they're taking risks to get that boost. And sometimes those risks pay off, sometimes they don't. And that ETF called HIGH, H-I-G-H, ended 2024, total return only 1.5%. Whereas the BIL, which is the Spiders Bloomberg 1 to 3 month T-bill ETF, returned 5.2%. And so HIGH, H-I-G-H, they took big bets, calls and puts to earn extra income on things like MSTR. And sometimes that works out. Once again, sometimes it doesn't. But ultimately, the complexity of that ETF was a drag on overall returns. When it was simple, it was better to go with the simple strategy. And that's for the most case here. When you're looking at ETFs, the more complex the strategy is, the less you understand it, the bigger problems tend to lie underneath the surface. Okay. And any product that exposes you to big drawdowns isn't typically a good alternative to cash. So understand that. When you're buying ETFs, buy them for your need. Don't get cute with it. Okay. Another example is the ProShares Ultra QQQ. It promises three times, triple the daily return of the NASDAQ 100. But over the past 3 years, this ETF is roughly flat, whereas the normal Qs, they're up dramatically. And it's a tracking error issue. And that's why we say levered ETFs, you don't want to hold for extended periods of time. And the sad thing is that there are funds out there that are not just trying to put leverage on an index, but leverage on particular companies, as I said before, MicroStrategy, Tesla, Amazon, etc. And the reality is that the tracking error and the costs typically make it so the overall return over extended periods is actually lower than just owning the underlying security. So I find it sad that the SEC is actually approving these type of names. Okay. And in addition, you're also getting these alternative strategies that are typically illiquid now being approved in ETF form. Last month, you had Bond Blocks as well as Virtus Investment Partners are launching ETFs exposed to private debt, which are historically illiquid. These are portfolios of collateralized loan obligations that don't trade every day, not like normal corporate bonds, okay? And so I think those are set for, are ripe for potential liquidity traps, liquidity, large liquidity drawdowns when liquidity dries up. When there's liquidity out there, money's flowing, they tend to do okay, especially because there's not a lot of people trying to cash them out in a short period of time. But what happens when you get some sort of COVID type crisis, or, you know, God forbid an 08. I don't think we're gonna get something like that, but you know, there can be news events out of left field that causes people to want to go to cash in all types of assets. And when you have an illiquid asset like collateralized loan obligations, it often means the bids go away and prices drop precipitously. So, you know, investors need to be cautious about what they buy and the type of complexity of these ETFs that are being issued. And just because the SEC approves it doesn't mean that it is right for you. And this is a time where you need to be increasingly vigilant. And with these ETFs, keep them simple. Simple strategies typically beat the more complex, despite how interesting and exciting they might sound. Now let's keep things moving and pivot to the InvestTalk Voice Bank for a question that came in earlier from Florida.
Hey, Justin or Luke, this is Daniel from Jacksonville, Florida. Happy New Year, and thank you for all the work you all do on the show. It's always a really great listen. I have a question on ticker symbol gold. Over the past few months, you all have seemed pretty bullish on gold in general, and I think you've referenced this stock before, so I've started a specific position in Barrick Gold over the last couple of months. Recently, though, and after starting the position, political issues appear to have arisen with the company with some mines in Africa. I was curious, would you look elsewhere, or do you think gold, specifically ticker symbol gold, is still a solid choice? Thank you, and I look forward to hearing your answer.
All right. Yeah. Looking at Barrick Gold, and I still think that this is one of the better run miners that are out there. If you look at its free cash flow, about $1 billion on a market cap of 27 billion. They do have some mining, political issues with their mines in Africa, but you know, they have 19 mines throughout the world, in the Americas, Africa, the Middle East, and Asia. So they're fairly well diversified. They have a ton of proven reserves, and they're one of the largest in the world. And so that brings them that Hafnium diversity. So, you know, there's some near-term issues, but typically those are resolved, you know, by greasing the right palms and creating the right setup for the local communities to make it advantageous for creating jobs and helping the local governments, et cetera. And these things tend to get resolved over time. So these are times, I think, to be buying up shares as opposed to selling them off. Now, also near term, you're probably getting some tax loss selling. And I think that will ultimately, obviously, since the new year started, that pressure will abate some. So I would continue to allocate to gold, to GOLD, Barrick Gold, but understand the volatility. And you probably want to be a part of a mix of miners that you own, not just the only miner that you own. All right. Thanks for the call. Now, the question, we are embarking on a new year. And the question is, are you ready? And you may have noticed that we've been telling you that a new market environment is taking hold. And there are many reasons for this, not just a new administration, but a secular inflationary environment, an environment of fiscal dominance where government spending is likely to continue at a heavy clip, partly because of the fact that, you know, the politics of keeping economic growth consistent, preventing major drawdowns in equities, preventing major risk-off environment. Those are paramount. And you also have a debt situation where governments are forced to spend. That's what payment on debt is. It's government spending. And all this, once again, means an inflationary environment, which is different than what we've saw for the past 20, 30 years, where you had secularly disinflation, you had globalization, and now you're having more protectionist policies. So Trump is Trump. He's unique in his own way, but he's not unique in the grand scheme of things worldwide of more protectionist policies by various countries. And protectionism and trade wars, they tend to be inflationary. And so the question for you is your portfolio ready? Is it ready for these times? And if you need help, you need a second opinion, I encourage you to head over to investtalk.com and click on the portfolio review button in the top right-hand part of the screen. Fill that out and we can set up a Zoom meeting so that we can share screens, go over where you're at and what changes potentially could be made, how to maximize your ability to achieve financial freedom. Now, our work continues after this break. Let's get your questions in now at 888-99-CHART. Let me take a minute to tell you about Indochino. Menswear, womenswear, accessories, and suits made for you. Whether it is tying the knot or leading meetings at the office, look and feel your best this year with a suit made just for you at an unbeatable price. With Indochino, you can customize every detail, like the lining, lapel shape, buttons, monogramming, and more. Plus, Indochino sources fabrics from some of the best mills around the world at a fraction of what other companies charge. Put together your best look yet at Indochino.com. Use code INVEST for 20% off orders of $499 or more. With Indochino, you can order a tailored fit right from your home. Just set up your measurement profile on Indochino's website. You'll be able to choose customizations without even leaving the house. Or, if you would like a premium in-person experience, book an appointment at a showroom near you and let an Indochino style guide walk you through every step. The quality of the fabric is excellent and you will feel great when you see yourself in the mirror. For all of your 2025 plans, look your best in Indochino. Visit Indochino.com and use code INVEST to get 20% off any purchase of $499 or more. That's 20% off at INDOCHINO.com, promo code INVEST.
The more you learn about how the market works, the better your chances for success. So don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Dave from Ohio. Yeah, I was getting your take on Crown Castle, TCI. I've owned it for several years. I'll be listening for your answer. Thank you.
All right, looking at Crown Castle CCI. This is a great, I love this question, because for a long period of time, these REITs, and for everyone else out there, Crown Castle, they own the wireless towers around the country, and the wireless companies, they rent space on their towers. So that's where their revenue comes from. And the idea was always, hey, the demand for space in these towers is going to continue to grow. It's a very consistent business, consistent cash flows, and so they must trade at a premium. And I certainly agree they should trade at a premium. But what happened was they traded at an egregious premium. Okay, price to sales ratio got as high as 14 times, 14 and a half, back in the summer of 2021. Now that's down to 5.7 times. Still elevated, but obviously not as egregious. And the stock has peaked at 210, and now it's down to $86. And it's a perfect example of why when companies get to egregious valuations, you need to rebalance, take some chips off the table, take some risk off the table, because ultimately the tide moves in both directions and the tide will eventually move out. And CCI, the earnings peaked out at $7.32 in 2022. I want to say earnings. Funds from operations, because this is a REIT, so it's calculated differently. Funds from operations peaked at $7.37. Supposed to be down to $6.92 this year, and it was down 8% last year from $7.55 to $6.96. So, you know, you've seen that peak, and the stock peaked well before the peak in funds from operations. And the big question is, where is it reasonably valued? Okay, so let me pull this up here. I'm going to give you a support level, because it did hit support right around this level, around $86, bounced to 120, and now it's rolling over once again. And that is my worry. The technicals just continue to be weak. And I want to give you the next support level. That's going to be down around $60. And I think that's where you're starting to, this company is starting to get cheap. Or this REIT is starting to get cheap. Its dividend yield is 7%, but it does have a lot of debt on its balance sheet, $24 billion in debt, and that continues to go higher. And that's really my problem here, is that the cost of debt continues to march higher. Times interest earnings only 2.5 times. And so I would not own this at the bare minimum, at least until it gets $60. And even then, I have to reassess it. Have they been able to mend the debt situation and prevent it from continuing to power higher? I would want that total amount of debt to flatten out and then to start repairing their balance sheet, because that dividend yield, it's going to get cut. You're not going to get 7%. And a good tell is they were raising their dividend for a long period of time. If you go all the way back to the beginning, they started raising their dividend in 2014. And it marched higher all the way until 2022, the end of 2022, and it's been flat ever since. There's a reason for that. They whenever a company or REIT has a consistent history of raising their dividend, and then they stop, and they have a lot of debt in their balance sheet, and they have minimal growth in earnings and cash flow, that is a sign that they could potentially be cutting their dividend at some point unless they get their house in order. And I don't see their house getting in order. And that's my problem. And until then, until the debt situation starts to be addressed, I would stay away from Crown Castle. I wouldn't own it. I think it will continue to go lower, and that dividend is likely to be cut. So a lot of lessons here on Crown Castle. Don't buy overpriced stocks, especially those that have a good amount of debt on their balance sheet, despite the narrative, no matter what the narrative is. Now, I'm Justin Klein. This completes another Invest Talk program. We thank you for listening. We encourage you to tell your friends and family about our free podcast downloads, which you can find anytime at iTunes, Spotify, Google Play. Be sure to rate and review on iTunes as well. And remember, we can help you better understand your portfolio dynamics, now they fit in this current market environment, by heading over to investtalk.com and clicking on the portfolio review button. This is a free and confidential service. Independent thinking, shared success. This is Invest Talk. Good night.
InvestTalk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm, which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.